and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. But God, who is rich in his mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, verse 6 of Ephesians 2, hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, Bible students, this is the Word of God, and the Bible has given us the challenge. God has given us the orders to preach the Word. It's our command not to go and preach the official doctrine of your denomination. It's not our command to preach to improve the coffers and the treasuries of our various denominations. We're not supposed to preach according to our conscience, but the Apostle Paul told Timothy to preach the Word. He not only told him to preach the Word, he said, preach it always, constantly, and continually, and consistently. He says, preach the Word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering in doctrine. Then Paul said the time was going to come when they would not endure sound doctrine, but they would get themselves teachers, they would have itching ears, and they'd turn their ears away from the truth. This is talking to Christians here in Ephesians chapter 2. As a matter of fact, we're reminded of how this is talking to Christians back in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. The Bible says here very clearly that the message here was being proclaimed to the saints. What are we going to have to do to make people realize that when you become a Christian, you become a saint? A lot of times people say, well, I'm no saint. They mean by that they have mistakes, they have sins in their lives. That's true. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says, there's none righteous, no, not one. And the Bible teaches that even at our very best as human beings, we're altogether vanity. And so we're sinners saved by the grace of God. But when we become a Christian and are cleansed from our past sins, the Bible teaches that we are saints. Let me read that passage to you again from Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. And so there's no doubt about it, when you become a Christian, when you're born again of water and the Spirit, you become a saint. To become a saint, to be saved, to be redeemed, to be washed in the blood, it's all the same thing. There's several things, several passages, and it has reference to the same individual. It's like pastor. An elder is a pastor. The pastor is not the preacher. In the New Testament, the evangelists were not called pastors. That is an unscriptural thing in our society today. Even some people that ought to know better call themselves pastor and call themselves reverend. Well, my friends, the Bible teaches that a preacher is just that. He's a preacher, he's a minister, he's an evangelist. But the elders, the overseers in the church, and in New Testament days, when a church was fully organized, it had a plurality of elders, overseers, bishops, pastors. All of these terms mean the same thing. And so saint refers to a Christian, and you're going to have to be a saint if you're going to be saved. You're not going to become a saint after you're dead and somebody decides that you're worthy of being a saint. God is the one that determines whether or not you're a saint. And God determines that you're a saint. Oh, he recognizes your weaknesses and sins, but he recognizes that you're a saint when you repent of your sins and you're baptized to have your sins washed away. And so you go down mean, you come up clean, having been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was trying to get it across to these Ephesian Christians, what had happened to them, and to get it into their minds exactly what had taken place in their conversion. And in chapter 1, he talks about how sinful they were. Chapter 2, he reminds them of how sinful they were. But on top of that, when they heard the gospel, in Ephesians 2:1, the Bible says, and you, he's talking to these Ephesian saints that had been born again of water and the Spirit, and you hath he quickened. In other words, you were dead And now you have been quickened. That word quickened is used by the King James and by the English translators. That word quickened means made alive. He said, you, though you were dead, you've been made alive. And you who were dead in trespasses and sins. And then in verse 2, he reminds them of how they walked according to the course of the world in times past. In Ephesians 2:3, he talked about their nasty conversation in time past, but now their conversation had been cleaned up. You know, I've heard a lot of people in Sussex County, I've heard people in North Carolina, in Pennsylvania, Americans need to learn how to talk. American young women and young men need to learn how to talk. I get so sick and tired of hearing in profanity and in vain young women, young men saying, my God, my God. My friends, when you say my God every time you turn around, you're taking God's name in vain. When you mention God, you should mention Him in prayer. Don't ever say again, my God. That is in contrary and is going against the Word of God when you say my God and when you're saying that simply as a slang. God doesn't like you to take His name in vain. And that's one thing that characterized these Christians at Ephesus. At one time they said, my God this and my God that, but they'd cleaned up their language. At one time they used profanity, but they'd cleaned up their language. At one time they told dirty jokes, but they cleaned up their language. They had been born again. Whatever happened to what the Bible says, whatever happened to born again preaching? When you're born again, you get rid of the beer out of your refrigerator. When you're born again, you give up that vodka. When you're born again, you quit scratching off lottery tickets and you put your trust in a real thing that's not a gamble. When you become a Christian, you give up pornography. When you become a Christian, you're faithful to the Lord's church. When you become a Christian, you don't make excuses for staying away from the Lord's table. When you become a Christian, you're born again. And I wonder what percentage of the people that claim to be Christians are truly born again. There is a religion that has come into this country, and they have given it out to the people that it is all right to drink, it's all right to gamble, they'll even do it right in church. And wherever that came from, I wish it would be sent back. Because, friends, it didn't come from God. Holiness comes from God. When you become a Christian, you're supposed to act like it, dress like it, look like it, talk like it. And I'm telling you, we're going to have to realize that you have to be born again in order to be saved. Jesus said, except a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom. He told Nicodemus that. Nicodemus didn't understand him. He said, how can a man be born when he's old? Jesus said, of water and the Spirit. That's what he said back in Mark. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what Peter said on Pentecost. Repent and be baptized. And so we must understand the significance of the new birth. And Paul was trying to teach the Ephesian Christians, these saints, what had happened in their conversion experience. In verse 6 of Ephesians 2, he said, and hath raised us up together. We were raised up out of that watery grave. We were raised up together to walk in the newness of life. We were raised up. The Bible says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. And of course, before baptism comes belief in Christ. Before baptism comes hearing of the gospel. Before baptism comes understanding the wonderful grace and love of God, at least enough to know that you're a sinner. You need to repent, put your trust in Him, put your faith in Him, and to be born again of water and the Spirit to let His blood wash away your sins. My friends, it's not water that takes away sin. It's not water that takes away sin. Oh yes, the Bible teaches, and we had a study in baptism, the waters in Noah's day washed away sins. The Bible says, like that or in like figure, baptism doth also now save us. And so it's the power of God, the love of God, the glory of God that takes away your sins after you believe. At the moment you're baptized, you're washed in the blood. The Bible says in Acts 22:16, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. I was reading the other day in a commentary from Martin Luther. Martin Luther, of course, said many, many years ago, don't call yourselves Lutherans, leave my name out of it, just call yourselves Christians. He had more religion than the ones that follow him, and that's true in Protestantism across the board. John Wesley had a lot more religion and holiness than the ones that are following him. And if you go back to those old reformers, a lot of them believed, and they, I guess all of them believe, as far as I know, you do the studying and research, but they all believe you should not name yourselves after individuals or after denominational terminologies. Just call yourselves Christians. And so when you're raised up from that watery grave of Christian baptism, you're raised up to serve the Lord. And I notice here in verse 8 and 9, these are verses that are probably among the most misused verses in the Bible, at least in the English language today. Most preachers, many preachers I should say, maybe most preachers, misuse these two verses into giving a false sense of salvation to the people that are listening. Listen to this. How many times have you heard this? You're saved by grace through faith. Let's go back and read it. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so over and over and over again, there was an article. Someone spent a lot of money to put an article in the USA Today not too long ago. And they advocated salvation by grace through faith. And here's what you do. Just put your faith in God and He'll save you. But we have tried to share before with our radio audience the importance of going back to the 19th chapter of Acts and finding out how these Ephesians were saved by grace through faith. You see, in the gospel epistles here, in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Paul is talking to the Ephesian Church of Christ, the Ephesian Christians. He's talking to the saints at Ephesus. But back in the 19th chapter of Acts, it tells about how that he was in Ephesus. When he got there, they had a confusion about the Holy Spirit. He said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? They said, we've not even heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. He said, what kind of baptism did you get? They said the baptism of John the Baptist. Then they were commanded to be baptized with the baptism of Jesus Christ, because scriptural baptism is not only for the remission of sins, but the gift of the Holy Spirit. And later on, he wrote to them and reminded them of how they were saved by grace through faith. But most preachers will not take you back to Acts 19. They'll cut you off and lead you to believe and give you a false sense of security by saying all you have to do is say, I believe and trust in God, and baptism doesn't have anything to do with it. Well, you go back to the 19th chapter of Acts and find out what baptism had to do with it back there. Then it is really something that the Apostle Paul told them to remember what they were. I think there's a lot of people that need to remember what they were. We see children and grandchildren that have forsaken God, forsaken the church. Moms and dads and grandparents and great-grandparents serve the Lord, but what are the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren doing today? Drinking beer, scratching off lottery tickets, and living like there's a wreath on the door of heaven, never meeting around the Lord's table. My friends, you'd better be in your grave and in Christ than alive and absenting yourselves voluntarily from the Lord's table and from serving God. We're going to have to start remembering. Church members, people that have their names on church books, need to remember what they were, what God did for them, and to get back, to get serious about God and to have a revival. That's the only thing that's going to save this nation. That's the only thing that's going to save the churches. That's the only thing that's going to save individuals, to have an old-fashioned revival of the truth. Well, our time is up. We're going to have to get the music turned up now. Be tuned in next week. Tell a friend about this broadcast. Shotgun Barrel Straight is what we're trying to preach it. Let's go. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the plan of salvation. Help us to be faithful in Christ, we pray. Amen.